I want to talk to you though in the second week of our series about we're continuing to deal with things that we need to unsubscribe from in order to encounter more of God. And I was thinking to set up our time together, going back to my middle school years. We had a guy in our my middle school class. He was a bully. He was one of these guys who like to hit people, you know, and so he was a bully. I was fortunate enough to be friends with him in this way that we like sports together, and so I was able to avoid most of his wrath. But this guy, he would go around and he would torture kids by when the teachers weren't looking. He just wind up and pop them, you know, with a fist. He was pretty strong. He'd hit them on the shoulder, the arm. He'd hit them on the side. He'd hit them in the gut. And the kids were just terrorized. You know, there were kids that, you know, didn't come to school. They were avoiding him like the plague because it was this physical torture, you know, of this guy. And you know, when I think about the way the kids responded over this physical torture, I thought, you know, and I have to go back in those years, how terrible it must have been for them. But what I want to talk to you about today is looking at the torture and the pain that you and I experience in life, going beyond the physical, because it is one thing to experience, you know, that physical torture, that torment in the physical realm, but it's a whole nother thing to experience the torture and the crushing of the soul. And so we could look at physical, and we love to talk about, you know, in our own lives, how I can get physically fit, how I can deal with myself physically, how I can get in shape physically, protect myself physically, but we often aren't thinking about what's happening at the soul level. And the crushing of the soul is something I've watched in our culture, in our community, as I've pastored, that it is the greater problem. It is the greater situation. And so we're going to address it, because I think if your soul is crushed, if you're hurting on the inside, what we know then is that you're going to struggle in your connection and your walk with God. You're crushed at the soul level. It affects so many things in the spiritual realm. So here's what it says in Mark chapter 8 and verse 36. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, like the things of the physical and the things of the world, but to lose his own what? Soul, right? To lose your soul, that is an understanding that at the soul level, there's a big thing there we need to be paying attention to. And so when our soul is healthy, when our soul is in a healthier position, we are moving spiritually stronger. We're moving in a more healthy fashion. When it's crushed, when there's a crushing and a torturing of our soul, our thoughts are overrun with things of our life, mistakes, things of our past. We miss out in that connection and walk with God. And I would submit to you that one of the reasons we're doing this series is because, well, there are some of you, and you would say that you are a believer in Christ, but at a very soul level, you are hurting deeply. And it has affected 5 years of your spiritual journey, 10 years, 50, longer. And God wants a richness of a connection with you. He wants that deeply, but if that is missing, if that's damaged, you'll find yourself not only hurting, but also generally doing the same things over and over. And you know, Paul talks about this in Romans. You know, we see him, he says, hey, you know, I wish I, you know, sometimes I want to do better, but then sometimes I sink back and I do the wrong things, and it's frustrating when we do that, and we don't want to be in a cycle like that. We don't want to be caught up, you know, in doing the wrong things. We all want to advance, but when we're hurting, when we're crushed at this level, we will continue to sink into those old ways of living. We're talking about an internal battle, an internal struggle that God has made a way for us to win, made a way for you and I to have victory. But if we don't address it, again, we're going to miss out. What did we say at this series? We said at this series, it's like this picture of being on this park bench and we're just having this rich connection with our Heavenly Father, and we would sit there and immerse in a conversation with Him as He's speaking to you and I about what He wants for our life, and that we would love to encounter God that way, but so few of us are. And again, when you're damaged at the soul level, that is deeply impacted. In the Christian world, there are people who said this earlier, they're damaged at the soul level, but they can put on a good show. And for decades in the American church, we've seen people who are crushed and hurting on the inside. But boy, they can put on the show on the outside. You know, they show up, they're hurting on the inside, but they show up to church and they use, you've heard it, "Hey, brother. How you doing today, brother? Isn't it hallelujah, praise the Lord, a wonderful day? It's just wonderful." And again, sounds very nice, right? But you and I, we would hear that and we would say, you know, golly, that's such a external thing. Like, that's such a facade thing. What about what's happening on the inside? Isn't that the greater situation? And yes, so again, that's why we're kind of doing this series, why I'm talking to you today about understanding things at the soul level. Here's what it says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. "Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires." All right, so these desires that affect us, they war. Here's what it says. They war against, there's a war against your what? Your soul. So again, we're seeing this for what it is. You know, I have a thing that I do here at our church where I say, as you think, so you do. And as you do, so you become. And so if you want to know about any outcome in any area of your life, it goes back to your thinking. We always talk about that. And so we have to see things, we have to know what we think about something to identify our outcomes. Let me tell you a mind shift in this area that I think will help some of you understand the importance of our topic here today. I wrote this in your notes. All right, so if you want to write this down, this is important. I don't want you to miss this because, like, this is a really big reframing for some of you to really understand. But here it is. You are not a body that has a soul. You are a soul that has a body, right? Because the soul lives forever. That's what we know, eternally with God or separated from God. But the soul is living forever. The body, this is, you know, we're aliens, we're strangers. Our bodies decay, they fail, they break. They're going to be gone one day. And so the greater thing that exists forever is the soul. And so when we think about what we're doing in our own spiritual journey, our walk with God, we have to have a laser focus on the soul level situation. And so I want to make sure we have the right frame of mind as we walk through this. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you two, I think, unhealthy subscriptions that we have in our life. We're going to deal with them. We're going to learn how to unsubscribe from them in the second part of our time together, crushing subscriptions for the human soul. I'll give you two of these. Now, as we go along, let me just remind you that we gave you these cards when you came in. Last week, it was really cool to watch so many of these get posted up on the outside, just outside the sanctuary doors there. There's a little bench, and we've been posting these little captions. And what you're writing is, as God is revealing to you each week of this series, he's revealing decisions, next steps. You're writing them down. You're saying, in my conversation and my connection with you, God, I believe you're revealing these things for my life. And you take those out, and you drop them in the baskets, and we're posting them. They can be just anonymous, and you'll put them in there. Some of you, God is speaking to you about, about things you're going to withdraw from that are unhealthy for you. Maybe some things you're subscribing to in order to experience him more. Write those there as I'm speaking to you. Take those out and put those there. Last week, the end of last week, I did a little video, and I just went through five or six of the ones that we got last week, and they were so important to somebody's spiritual health. I love that you all were sharing those. So do that again. This week, let me give you the first thing, and this topic of things that are unhealthy that we subscribe to. If you want to write this down in your notes, when we subscribe, all right, we're going to be crushed at the human soul level when we subscribe to this, being defined by our mistakes, letting our mistakes define us. Let me tell you something. What breaks the heart of God is when you let your mistakes kind of sit there and start defining you more and more, because well, God gave his one and only son, Jesus Christ, so that you wouldn't have to sit there and immerse in your mistakes. God doesn't want that for any human being, but we walk in our shame, we walk in our guilt, we walk in our unconfessed sin. We're tortured at the soul level when we live in this way where we're defined by our mistakes. And David talks about the weight of this in Psalm chapter 38 and verse 3. He says this, "My bones have no soundness because of my sin. My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear." It's overwhelmed me. I'm carrying something that I wasn't meant to carry, and I'm overwhelmed. I'm crushed at the soul level. These things that happen to us in our lives that we carry with us, they happen many times at a young age, and they just kind of things keep on happening. And you know, you could have a weight of things over a long period of time, a multitude of things that could crush you at the soul level. Heck, I remember, I think it was probably about sixth grade or so, some friends, we went over to another friend's house and we're sitting there and he says, "Hey guys, I want to show you something, you know, I found that my parents have." And he comes out and what he's found that his parents have is a VHS tape of pornography. And so he walks out and here we are, you know, of our friends, he puts this in the thing and it starts to play. And here at a sixth grade, I'm being exposed to, you know, this, and I'm watching this and I see this for a couple minutes. I'm like, I got to get out of here. Like, so this is not right. Like, I can't watch this. I remember getting on my bike and I'm going home and I'm like, well, you know, I felt the guilt. I felt the shame. I felt the pain of like, I know I'm not supposed to, like, I know that's not for my eyes, and yet I'm watching that. I come into home, and my mama's there, and she, you know, there's my angel son. And I'm thinking, if you saw what I just saw, I don't feel like I'm much of an angel right now, you know? But in seriousness, like, okay, there's a moment where you're feeling something. There's a shame. There's a guilt. It's tripping you up at the soul level. That's one instance. Now, play that out 10 times, 20 times. Now, you're in your high school years. You're in your young adult years. And these moments happen. You don't process them well. This is how this crushing of the soul level begins to take place. We could talk about studies showing the weight and brokenness of something like pornography on adults today. Certainly our young people, we know, approaching 60, 70, 75%, depending on the data that you're researching, of men today are struggling deeply with lust and pornography, you know, and or both, you know, it could be both. We know the studies are showing more and more women revealing the same thing, lust and or pornography at the level of 25 to 35%. It's affecting marriages, it's affecting families, but we don't deal with it. We don't deal with the guilt. We don't deal with the shame. We don't deal with the regret. And so it just kind of sits there and crushing more and more of our soul. For some of you, there's something going on. If people found out, it could ruin your reputation, or it could be very embarrassing. Maybe you're living a lie. Maybe you've misrepresented yourself. Maybe in the business realm, you found yourself in dishonest gains, and you try to keep it quiet. Maybe a private sin. Maybe a sin related to, you know, it could be anything. It could be an addiction. It could be a habit in your life of some sort that you know you try to keep quiet. For some of you, it's a financial issue. Like, you have focused so much on looking good on the outside, but man, if people knew the mountain of debt, you know, that you're struggling all the time to pay off, you keep that as quiet as you can, you know, because you don't want people to know that. It's a private thing. And these things, they're crushed. They weigh on our soul. God doesn't want us to live this way. What happens if it becomes public? What happens if people find out? What will people think? The enemy says, go down that route. Keep holding on to your brokenness. And it sounds good to think, okay, keep holding on to my brokenness, don't let anybody find out. But again, it's crushing you at the soul level. And I want to talk about the enemy here. That's the next point in your notes. We subscribe to Satan's lies. This is unhealthy. So we've made a mistake. It's weighing on us. And then we start to believe more and more the lies that Satan is telling us. Again, it could be just as simple as this. Don't talk about your struggle. Keep it hidden. Like, that is that's a beautiful tactic of the enemy, because again, he wants that crushing of your soul. So our spiritual enemy, he wants to see your soul damaged. John 8:44, Jesus talks about Satan right here. He says, the devil was a murderer from the beginning, not holding on. Okay, nothing the devil gives you is what? Nothing is truth, for there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and he is the father of lies. And so he wants you to remain tortured in this time of your life where you want to hold back. He wants that for you. The enemy wants you to just sit there and live in that. It's so easy to believe lies. You know, it's so easy to believe a lie and carry it for so long. I remember when my girls were younger, you talk about how easy it is to believe a lie. You know, the ice cream truck would always come through our neighborhood and put that music on, you know, and so our girls would hear it. And you know what we would tell them? Anytime the ice cream truck comes in the neighborhood and starts playing the music, that means they're out of ice cream. That's torturous, right? Like, what a torturous lie. For years, you know, we had them believing that till we finally had to tell them the truth. You know, it's not very nice to do that. We joke a little bit about that, you know, in our family. But the reality is how easy it is at any age for us to fall prey to the lies, especially the lies of the enemy, because here's what the enemy does with his lies. He dresses them up to sound nice, but behind that facade of his lies is deep brokenness. Again, he wants to keep us a prisoner in the things that are not true. And one of the ways he does it is he says, you know, if they knew your secret, they wouldn't like you anymore. People will reject you if you start talking about your pains in life. And then, you know, the development and the progress of the secrets and the brokenness and the withholding of truth brings you to a place where the enemy has you positioned well, where he connects with you the lie that, you know, that you've been living, and he starts to make it your identity. Now it becomes, okay, the mistake that you made, the choice that you, okay, that's what you did, and then he brings it to the next level, and so therefore you are. You made this mistake, you are that mistake. All right, you made this failure choice, so you are a failure. And over again, I've watched over the years as people just kind of, okay, they start to believe the lie, it affects their identity, and they live in this unhealthy place throughout the days of their life. You know, some people say, you know, I've got a secret that I need to carry all the way to the grave. The reality is the secret that you're carrying is taking you to the grave. It is damaging you gravely at a soul level. And so what do you do when you realize that you've been tortured this way, when you've been crushed in your spirit this way? What do you do when you and I think that we start to see that the enemy has lied to us, that we've been living this certain way? We want to find rest for the human soul. And I put this in your notes. We're going to walk through this. And what I'm going to give you really would be it's tried and true. It's throughout the scriptures, especially we go to the New Testament with the New Covenant and Jesus Christ. When we go see what Jesus has offered humanity, we see very simply, and this is stuff that all of us can do. We were meant to do from the very beginning, but we fail to do, and so we sink into lies. But I'm going to give you, I believe, would be very simple solutions that God has given humanity to process, to work through the brokenness of our soul so that we don't have to stay there, all right? And so if you've ever had believed the lies of the enemy, if you've ever, you know, tried to keep something a secret, if you've ever avoided dealing with truth, here's the answer for your soul. I put this in your notes. Unsubscribe from the hiding over confession. Confession is where we're heading, and you've got to decide that confession, you've got to decide that talking about it, dealing with it, is the greater place to go than the hiding. It's always better to work in truth. And God says, yeah, I've set something up that in the truth you will find health. The enemy set something up that in the lies you will be broken. And so we gotta believe what it says in Proverbs 28:13. He who conceals his sins does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them, they're going to find mercy. They're going to go through the soul cleansing process that God has offered us now. As we move towards the New Testament, we see this playing out. God says, I've got a soul cleansing way to live. And it's really simple. You know, in the physical realm, when you and I are poisoned, if you've ever had food poisoning, which probably most of us have at some time or another in our life, if you ever have food poisoning, here's what you discover, that pretty quickly your body now has to work to deal with that poison. And your body has a cleansing solution for dealing with that poison. You're probably aware of this. When it begins to happen, you go through this, I don't know, usually about a 24-hour period where things are coming out of your body in two different holes. All right. Don't look at me like that's not true. You know that's true. Let's just talk. All right, you got one, and so you, one minute your head's at the toilet, and the next minute your rear end's at the toilet, and what's happening in that moment, your body is cleansing. It's cleansing. It's getting the poison out so that, you know, you can recover. And what do we know? We have the early moments where we're like in this moment where we go, I feel like I'm going to die. You know, you feel like that. And then after a little longer, you go, I want to die. All right. But then comes the cleanse has taken place. And then, you know, a few days after, you start to feel like your old self again. You know, you start to kind of start progressing forward. God has set up in the spiritual realm a sort of cleansing way that it will be difficult at first. But in the long run, all right, the new thing begins to develop. Then comes the healing. Unconfessed sin is poison to the soul, an enemy that wants to steal, kill, and destroy, wants you to live there. God says, no, here's what we're going to do. First, we're going to confess to God for forgiveness of sin. We're going to confess. And so we've shared over the years, what is confession? It's just talking to God about what he already knows. He already knows your mistakes, all right? He knows what you've done. He knows what you're hiding. He knows the lies that you've believed. And now I'm going to go to God, and I'm going to then, as a part of that, ask for the forgiveness of sin. So if you're here today and you're a believer in Christ, you have immediate access to this. This is one of the beauties of our faith. You make a mistake, boom, I can go right to God and deal with that forgiveness. It says this in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, and he will forgive us our sin. And check it out what he's going to do. He's going to purify us from all unrighteousness. You should memorize that if you haven't. That's a centerpiece to our faith. You got a relationship with Jesus Christ. You can confess and receive the forgiveness of sin. Maybe you'll memorize that in your quiet time so that you always know, I'm going through this struggle, but I'm going to turn to God. And God says, hey, if you'll turn to me for the forgiveness of your sin, I don't keep track of that record. I'm not here to remember. God says to remember your mistakes. And you could go to God a couple years later and you could say to God, remember that time where I did that terrible thing? And God says, no, I don't. Not that he can't. I'm just saying like he's forgiven you. He's made that decision to say, it's done. It's gone. It's over with. Let's move forward. And I love that because that gives me kind of every day an opportunity to wake up with God with a clean slate. How many of you grew up with an Etch-a-Sketch? Etch-a-Sketch is a big deal. Like, okay, when I was growing up, you know, an Etch-a-Sketch, that was redneck computer. That's what that was, you know. So we have that little laptop. That was our laptop growing up. And so we had that, and, you know, we could write on it, whatever. But you know the beauty of the Etch-a-Sketch is what? Shake it up, and like it's clean, you start over. That's what God gives us in a very real way in our spiritual journey, that every day we just shake it up, the forgiveness of sin, and God wipes the slate clean. You have that opportunity to receive that forgiveness, but then here's the next thing in your notes, then we confess to people for the healing. The healing from sin. So, all right, so we know when it comes to the forgiveness of our sin and our faith, we don't have to go to another person. We know that that's not the way God set it up, that there's an intercessor on our behalf at the right hand of the Father, Jesus Christ. He's our intercessor. We can go to him for the forgiveness of our sin, right? Because that's offered up by God. But God set something up in the scriptures as a part of this cleansing process. Talk to other people about your brokenness and watch the healing go really to another level in your life. James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to each other. Why are we going to do this? So that we can pray for each other so that we can be healed. So we confess to God for the forgiveness of sin. We talk to others about it with things like accountability, things like just talking about it, bringing healing, things like you know, somebody making sure we're staying, you know, again, boundaries and accountability, making sure we're staying on the right track. Over the years, I have watched, and I've gotten a front row seat to this as a pastor, I've watched as people go through this moment, and I hear them, and they'll come up to me, and they'll say something that sounds like this, you know, and it's powerful. I know it's a big moment when it happens. They'll say something like this to me. Pastor Gary, I need to share something with you that I've never shared with anybody ever before in my life. And anytime that happens, that's the breakthrough moment. That's what that is. That's the breakthrough moment where somebody's saying, okay, you know what? I'm going to bring this out into the light. I've had the ability to be on the front lines to hear conversations like this. Certainly as a pastor, people want to meet with me. They want to talk to me about things that are going on in their life. As a groups leader, and I've been a groups leader, you know, all, for 19 years, probably 30 plus times, I don't know, and I meet people in groups, and then I get a text, you know, Pastor, can we meet after group, or Pastor Gary, can we visit, you know, some, and I need to talk to you. I've seen it happen in other groups, not just the pastor's group. People develop a relationship, and they find somebody they can trust, and they have that conversation with somebody that they can trust, and that is, by the way, the beauty of a rich connection with the church, right, where you know, okay, I've certainly got this one end where I can confess my sin to God and be forgiven of my sin, but what God gives us in the beauty of a vibrant local church is that people that we can talk to about our sin and our struggle, sharing with one another, praying for one another so that we can be healed. And that rich connection, you're not gonna find that, you know, coming in and out of here once every few weeks. And you're not gonna find it even coming in and out of here just on the weekends, but in the richness of, you know, your serve teams and your groups and you're connecting to our church more and more over time, you find people that you can talk to, that you can trust. Of course, every weekend we have people that you can come up here, our pastoral care team that you can talk to. We have ministry leaders that you can talk to as well at any moment. Of course, you can find people in your groups to talk to, but we have that as something as a part of this church and what a growing and vibrant church can take place. 20 plus years now of ministry, a couple years in youth work before I came here and now leading this church. I've watched this breakthrough moment. I'm gonna tell you something, Pastor, that I've never told anybody before. And that moment is a hard moment for somebody, all right? And so it becomes, when somebody shares something like that, the hardest day of their life sometimes. But the years pass and they look back and they say, now that was the best day of my life, because that was the beginning of the healing journey as I started talking to somebody about what I've been through. I've sat with men who've they've been hiding for years, a porn addiction. They start talking to me and they say, hey, this is, I gotta talk to you about this. And you know, if they're married, then we say, okay, look, we need to talk to your spouse about it. And we have that conversation. I've sat with men who've been in the military and they've never told anybody the things that, you know, they were ordered to do and their orders that they followed through on in another nation. And they're just so broken over the things that they saw and went through. And I just need to talk to somebody about, you know, what I went through. And so now we're praying and we're sharing and we're working through this with one another. It's the bringing in of somebody else into the situation that does something. God knew this. It detoxes, it cleanses our soul on the inside, this very important thing called the soul. God doesn't need you to post your sin on Facebook. That's not what he needs you to do. You know, I made this mistake, now I'm gonna put it out there for the whole world. No, that's not what God wants. But you find that trusted person, it is better to confess your sin than to hide those. The one who conceals their sin, they do not prosper. So God, I'm going to you for forgiveness. I'm talking to other people as well. Here's the next thing in your notes. And so therefore, in this process, all right, I'm going through this very simple cleansing process that God, and remember, it's an everyday. It can be an everyday thing to keep our soul fresh. This is what I put in your notes. Unsubscribe from the lies and then allow Jesus Christ to set you free. Unsubscribe from the lies and we're gonna let Jesus Christ set us free. This is where you say to your soul, hey soul, I'm not gonna be tortured any longer. I'm not gonna live the way that I've been living. There's a better way to live. I wanna be set free. Satan says, no, you're gonna always be this way. You're gonna live in this dark place. You're gonna live in this private kind of lie in your life. That's what Satan says. And you say, no, greater is the one that is in me than the one that is in the world, because if the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. And the Spirit of the Lord is liberty and freedom, and I'm gonna start walking in that freedom, and I know I'm not gonna be trapped any longer, tortured by this way of living. The enemy then amps up his game and says, no, you'll never get out of this mess. No, you're gonna always be this way. It's always gonna be a broken state for you, and you push back against those lies and you move towards truth, which again, I'm confessing to God, I'm sharing brokenness with somebody else in a trusted person in my life. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 10. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. And look at this. He will not let you be tempted beyond anything you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. God is saying to you and I, like, in this thought where I'm missing out on the richness of my soul, my connection with my heavenly Father, that relationship with God, whatever it is that you're dealing with, God says, okay, there is a way out of that way of living, and there is a way to more richly connect yourself and your walk with God as that soul is being cleansed. There's always a way out. So we don't ever have to go, I'm trapped, I'm helpless, I'm tortured, I can't get out. We don't have to live that way. There is always a way out. I played when I was younger, I played like the arcades sometimes. And of course I had an Atari, but in the old fashioned video games. Some of you, if you know, all right? Space Invaders, right? Donkey Kong, you know these games. We would play these games. They're Pac-Man. So when I was young, there's another game that I played. It was Asteroids. Anybody played Asteroid? Yeah, Asteroid, what you, this little ship in the screen there, and you spin around and these little asteroids are coming at you. You got to shoot them and earn points. But there was this thing where, you know, the asteroids would close in on you. You know, if you weren't careful, they're going to hit you and destroy your ship. And so then at the last moment, you know, when those rocks closed in, there was a button you could press to escape. Now, if you played the game, you know what the button was. You press that button, it'll take you out of that place that you're in. Does anybody know what the button did? What was it? Nobody knows? Hyperspace. You hit the button and it took you out in hyperspace to another place, in another setting. I would say to you today that scriptures are revealing to you and I, there always is that button for you and I. It's not hyperspace, if it's okay if I would say to you, it's hypergrace. And you hit the button and you say, in the grace of God, I'm not living here any longer. I'm gonna hit the button, there's a way out. I'm gonna start talking to somebody. I'm gonna start making the move to detox my soul. I'm gonna decide that the way out of the lusting, the way out of the lying, the way out of the secrecy is to turn to God and turn to somebody else. And that opportunity is before every one of us here. If there's something you've been holding back on, if there's something private, if there's something secret, you turn the knob of the door and you decide to walk through towards God's plan. You open that door. You realize because Jesus Christ has paid for your sin, you can walk through that door, escaping the satanic lie that you've been locked and trapped in your life, to be set free now, to be healed. You walk through that door. You discover transformation. Christ will set you free, but the choice, God says, is yours. You can choose to keep hiding, or you can choose at that crossroads moment to walk through that door and to stop carrying your secrets and the lonely nature of a tortured soul. A hard day to deal with your sin turns into one of the best days of your life. A hard day to deal with your brokenness of your past turns into the best day going forward. A hard day to admit that this is something that day in and day out I'm dealing with, an addiction, whatever it may be. But the best day, looking back years later, God has brought you through that difficulty. Again, you've got the card there, whatever God is revealing to you about your soul and what's going on at the soul level, things you want to share with God, things that God is revealing to you. You're going to write those down and take those right outside the doors there on the right-hand side. Drop those in the baskets and we'll hang those up for you. In just a moment, you'll have a chance. I'm going to pause. We'll have a time of prayer. And you can say, take that first step. I'm going to confess to God the sin in my life. I'm going to confess it. Okay, you can do that right here. Then the second step, it takes the next level of effort. I'm going to find somebody that I can talk to. I'll set up an appointment at the church. You know, I'll talk to somebody on the care team down here in the front. I'll go get a counselor. Start talking through this with my counselor, but I'm going to take that next step for healing as I talk to somebody about what it is that I'm going through. 1 Peter chapter 2 and 24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you are like sheep. We've all gone astray, all right? We've all drifted at times. But now you have returned to the shepherd, and he is the overseer of your soul. This text, very real and literally, says that you and I were not meant to carry that brokenness at a soul level. That Jesus went to the cross to take care of that and carry that for you. That's what he did. So why would you hold on to something that Jesus came to take care of for you? And so instead of withholding, you turn to him and you say, God, you're going to forgive me. And now for soul cleansing, I'm going to talk to somebody else. I'm going to start believing truth over lies. Let me pray with you now. You're here today as a believer in Christ. I pray that God is revealing at a soul level that there's some unhealthy things that are going on. And I pray through the power of the Spirit of conviction, God is reminding you that this is it's not something to take to the grave, that it's wrecking things spiritually. And God says, I want you to unsubscribe from that way of thinking about your soul. You're going to protect and guard and detox your soul. So if you're here today as a believer in Christ, you have access instantly right now to all this. And so you're turning to God, maybe with, God, forgive me. Forgive me of this darker part of something going on in my heart. But then now, God, I'm going to make a commitment to talk to somebody for healing. You're here today, you're an unbeliever. And so here's your challenge. You don't have access to any of that as an unbeliever, but as a believer, you do. And here's what we know. As somebody who's an unbeliever, you have an instant access to this, to starting new in your life with the first decision to join the family of God. Outside the family of God, the forgiveness of sin is not available. The confession through the brotherhood of believers as we work together and pray together, that's not something that is happening for you, but you can join the family of God today. I'm not talking about joining a church. I'm talking about being in God's family, and he's made only one way in which you and I could come to know him, and that's through accepting his forgiveness that happened on that tree, happened on that cross for all of humanity, that through the forgiveness of our sin, we could now have a walk with God, access daily in a relationship with God to the cleansing of our soul. You can start that journey today by saying, yes, God, I'm ready to enter into that covenant that you offered for humanity, for the forgiveness of sin. I'm ready to be washed. I'm ready to be cleansed. I want to start new in my life. This day forward, I'm going to learn the ways to live as you guide me through this life and into eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.